Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Happy New Year. This is your host, Adam Beebe, with you at the very end of 2019 and kicking into 2020. And with me, as always, is our New Year's baby, Barry Johnston.
Man, I wish I was a New Year's baby.
Well, you know, my dad was the New Year's baby when he was born in 1942.
Yeah. Wow.
January 1st, 1942. Enid, Oklahoma, where you are.
Wow. We spent lots of New Year's together, you and I, growing up. Lots of New Year's.
Yeah, we sure did.
It was, you know.
Yeah, church lock-ins.
Right. Yep. Try to stay up to watch the ball drop or whatever, to hear the countdown, you know, all that stuff. It's weird that it's 2020 already. Isn't it weird? Like,
yeah.
If you'd have told us when we were kids, 2020, what's 2020 going to be like? It'd have been, you know, total Back to the Future thing, you know, or.
Yeah. Or Star Wars or
Space
something,
Odyssey,
man. It
right.
was like a
yeah,
whole.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's crazy.
Everything, we would all be wearing suits made out of silver and lots of zips, pockets and stuff.
Yep.
They would be puffy.
And then here we are, still driving around our crappy cars and.
Yeah,
you know, our fashion that is unsensible and you know, I don't know, but it's cool. It's gosh, 2020. I don't know. Are you doing the resolution stuff this year?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I'm probably nothing official. Mm-hmm. Probably just trying to eat better again and get back on a good diet and to, you know, treat myself better,
right.
You know, personally, because I have a tendency to be harsh on myself and beat myself up and, you know, all of that stuff. That's, you know, just part of my nature, part of my chemical makeup of my brain, and you know, that just it tends to go hand in hand with a lot of creative people. You know, artists are, you know, deal with that, with that crutch. Well, not crutch, but the cross to bear, I should say.
Right.
But just trying to, you know, not be miserable and try to have a good year, because man, 2019 just
was rough.
Beat me down.
Yes, it was rough.
And you know, I guess I'll quote that classic Jawbreaker song with "It hasn't been my day in a couple of years."
Yes, so, what a great song, man! What a great song. Yeah. I'm a huge fan. That record, Dear You, is one of my favorites, man. I just love that record so much. But yeah, it is. It was a rough year, man. It was a rough year. I don't know. I've had really bad years. So as far as like really, really bad years go, you know, I've had worse, but it's just was one thing after the other. And I know you're in the same boat, you know, and a lot of it, funny enough, was car issues. We both had car issues.
For both of us.
God dang, dude. My sons wrecked three of our vehicles. And so that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Oh,
gosh. So I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
And, I feel good about it because we got a good episode to get started.
Yep.
To get 2020 kicked off.
To carry us out and to carry us in, man.
Yep.
And it's the part two of our Chad and Alta epic.
Yes. And we're back into it, and get ready, guys, because it just gets weirder, man. These two folks have had a really odd, weird relationship and existence that we just love to listen to.
Yeah, and we, this second part is another long one. We had to trim it down a little bit because, man, when we talked to him, we talked to him forever. We talked to him for 3.5 hours, probably could have talked 3.5 more.
Easily.
You know, we're hoping to have them back to fill in some of the gaps. But, we're getting into some really cool stuff. We're getting into their, the meat of the book that they wrote.
Yes.
Orbduction.
Yep.
In the French Quarter. And so we're getting into that story, and man, is it good.
It is.
And we're getting into some other recent events with like kind of a weird, like a time loop. Something. I'm not really sure exactly how to describe it, but
I think it's missing time on someone's point of view, and it's a time loop on someone else's point of view.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting about this is that the fact that they're together and they experience these things together, she has her interpretation of what's going on. He has his interpretation of what's going on. And so you get it from both sides. It's kind of a cool way to hear a story.
Right.
So cool, man.
Yeah.
And we got a wolf boy that is introduced in this one. And their friend who was also with them that experienced that stuff also was in, that's another layer to the cake that is fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess let's just quit beating about the bush and let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Chad, Alta, thank you again for being with us. Let us continue with What's Your Weird Story?
Yeah, so if you're all still with us and
interested,
we needed out of that apartment yesterday at that point. And at this point, Chad and I have worked very hard to understand the French Quarter and to learn the rhythm of it. And we were falling right in a line. Chad was kind of entrepreneuring himself. I had taken work as a reader in a reading salon. I call it a reading salon that had started back in 1929. It was a family-owned business. They were the first to start the salon, and they only catered to the moneyed. Now, we're talking 1929 and the wealthy.
Right.
That's what this shop was set up for. So it had a bit of a snobbery sort of attached to its history, and I liked it. It just gave me the opportunity to feel comfortable about using abilities that apparently I'd had all my life that I had worked very hard to not use.
Okay.
So then I discover, the French Quarter, that's what everybody comes here for.
Right.
And so what do you mean? What do you mean by a reader shop? You're not somebody comes in and they hand you a book and then you just read it aloud. I'm guessing that's not the kind of business that it is.
No, but that sounds lovely.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it just really
trademark
did.
No, that idea. That's
me. I do love that. No, actually doing readings with people use all different types of modalities, tarot cards, tea leaf readings, crystals, this and that. And, you know, it seems like it's an explosion now. Mm. Back then, and this was in 97, well, I took employment. I probably contracted with them maybe 96. And so they catered to all walk of life at that point, and they were keeping themselves a bit exclusive because readings, people were coming from all over the world, and the street had readers all over it. I don't mean to sound a snob, but a bit of a snobbery to it. Gypsies, now gypsies are lovely, I guess, and what have you, but these particular gypsies, this is how they identified themselves, they're mean. And they would move into the square of the French Quarter where it's all open, where the artists are and so on, and became, you know, just there were a lot of folks that were moving in that figured out they could put up a card table, use some cards and tell you your future. Right. And they moved in packs, almost like wolf packs.
Right.
And so I took contract in this shop that was family owned. They ran it like a little mafia, you know, it was the family, and they were interesting folks that had been there and done it again in the French Quarter for over 100 years. And so they catered to everything from movie stars to street people. I mean, at this stage of this story, it was all walks of life. And so I took employment, or private contracted into this shop, mm-hmm. and started making a lot of money, started building a nice name for myself because I could back up what I was offering. And the family, they had the one shop and then they opened a second shop. So they had two shops in the French Quarter for 70 years at the point that I'd come on board.
Wow.
World known. So the point is, Chad and I are doing just fine financially. We're starting to really kind of come along. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we get an opportunity to come out of the voodoo apartment into an apartment that's more in the heart of the quarter. It is the kind of stuff you see on television with the beautiful balconies and anything you see about, right, you know, the French Quarter and that kind of living with the flowers and we're moving into. Now, there's a lot of high strangeness involved in that story also, but suffice to say, to get really, I think, to the more interesting stuff, that apartment looked like something straight out of a castle. It was furnished, and the furniture looked like Louis the something.
Yeah,
right.
We had a couple marbled carved fireplaces. We had a crystal chandelier in the living room and one in the bathroom.
Wow.
I mean, we're coming out of living above the voodoo temple into this crazy, amazing apartment.
Yeah.
And so it was crazy amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was even crazier is it's embarrassing to tell you the rent we were paying. We were paying little to nothing. And it was more high strangeness involved. These things don't happen. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, life's turning for us. Well, that's what you get for thinking that. You know, got to finish that little story up that didn't turn out so well. But ultimately, we move into this apartment. We're both doing well, and we're very happy with ourselves. My mom has left Louisiana years prior, gone back to Arkansas. Now she's not doing well health-wise. She's alone, misses us. We miss her. Moving the story along, now we're in 1997. She had come here to visit, fell in love with, everybody fell in love with her, and we're about to get on with this. We're going to move her. We pre-rented her a mother-in-law cottage in our courtyard where we lived, at a beautiful courtyard with these wonderful, you know, apartments. So we, you know, got an apartment ready for her. She's going to be right there where we're not under the same roof, but she adores Chad. He adores her. And life goes on. They're going to look after each other and just have fun. And we're just going to get on with it. So she's also going to come to kind of surprise me for my birthday. I'm about to turn 40. Mm-hmm. It's my 40th birthday. Okay. Well, That didn't happen. In fact, she died on that day.
Oh, wow.
To the minute I'm born, my mother was pronounced.
Wow.
Now, this ad, creepy to creepy.
Wow.
I'd only asked her a week before, because I've never seen an original birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this crazy town wanted to do my astrological chart. That's way above my pay grade. Good for you. You know, if you know how to do that stuff, yay.
Yeah.
I love presents. So somebody wants to do this chart for me. Oh, it was the owner of the shop, the matriarch of the shop. So I felt honored. I call my mom long distance because she hasn't arrived yet, and I ask her if she happens to remember. Well, she thought that was just silly because she'd forgot I'd never had kids. She said, of course, Alta, you don't forget something like that. And she tells me 323. Oh, that's an interesting number. I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, on that day, on my birthday, that's when they pronounced her. And it was too big. And it was too overwhelming.
Yeah, that's a incredible synchronicity. Yeah. I mean, that's just wow.
It was just too big. So I was sinking badly internally, just sinking. Chad was not doing well either, but he negotiates much better than I was, and so we got to try to get on with it. I get back to work, man, that's not easy, but I found it was much easier to deal with other people's stuff than my own.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That makes perfect sense.
Thanks. You know, in that regards, it was a bit of an escape, I guess. So exactly. That's how I'm negotiating it. Well, okay. So now the shop has hired this young woman. They had a lot of hirees that sold very expensive everything, jewelry, mm-hmm. and
crystal balls
and yeah, all kinds of stuff, very expensive stuff. And as well as they had several readers on board, mm-hmm. that all of us did maybe something very different and offered, you know, readings. Okay. Yes. So they made a fortune. Let's just put it like that. They made a fortune. And so they've hired this young woman. We call her Christina in the book, and we're going to be sure and get you both one of our, we've cool. published a small book about this part of the story, particularly that we're getting into now.
Great.
So anyhow, we've renamed her Christina in the book. She's 24 at the time. She's tall, slender, long blonde hair, pretty, and a very happy being. Mm. She had relocated from, not where she's from, but she'd been living around the ocean somewhere and had moved here from the ocean. So she reminds me of a beach babe.
Right.
And she's just but the point is from the minute I met her, I felt like I knew her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you all understand that, but, yeah. you know, knew
yeah.
her.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how she felt, but she certainly received me as if she knew me. And I felt like it was familiar, like family, and it just felt good. Mm-hmm. So we got tight fairly fast, but tight only on the job for the most part.
Okay.
She had met my mom. Now she sees the sinking that I'm experiencing and right. the pain and the loss of the death of my mom. So one night, this is months after my mom had passed, she had asked if I wanted to go out and have dinner and drinks after work. Mm-hmm. I accepted. Now, we only lived a couple blocks from our shop. So I called Chad, and I'm like, I knew Chad would want to join us, and we'd want him to join us. And so we called Chad. He gets all cleaned up, and he walks over to the shop. So we get out of the shop. That's the three of us. We leave the shop at around 9:30. Is mm-hmm. what I remember, her locking the doors. We're going to do this all on foot, and it's going to be spontaneous. We're just going to go out and have a party. We're going to go find a party and just get over this darkness that I was swimming in.
Mm-hmm.
And right. so we're going to do it all on foot, and we're going to start on one end of the quarter and just work our way across. All spontaneous. Now, at the time, she's 24. She'd never been married and had no kids either. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just how we started. We step out of the shop. I remember being the first to acknowledge, and I don't go around normally talking like this, even though I'm a reader and do readings for people. Mm-hmm. That particular night when we stepped out, I remember saying something to the effect of, it feels weird out here. The mm-hmm. energy feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember both them acknowledging me. They don't talk like that either.
Hmm.
So whatever that was about, man, we had no idea what we were heading into. So that was, you know, the first of the night. We're on foot. We start off on Bourbon, mm-hmm. On one end of Bourbon Street. Now, Chad's about to pick up this also, because he's experiencing this right along with me and Christina. Let me also mention, okay. Christina, we are still connected to long distance. She will never go public with any of this, but she did give us permission to speak on her behalf. And okay. I got her portion of this in writing many years ago as well, just trying to do whatever I could to keep her voice in this story, because cool. it's right. so crucial mm-hmm. to what I'm about to share. So anyhow, we start off on Bourbon, and I'll say this and then hand this off to Chad. I remember immediately again feeling and us basically stating, where is everybody? Where is everybody? Go ahead, Chad.
You know, you kind of, like Alta always says, it's you know the rhythm and you know the vibe in your neighborhood, you know, yeah. especially, you know.
And we've been there long enough to know that. Yeah, we've
been there long enough to kind of know the, and we get on over to Bourbon Street, and now Bourbon Street's always packed. You know, it's 24/7, always.
You've all been here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
there's always something going on.
Always.
Well, we decided to go to a restaurant, and actually it was the bar restaurant that I was telling you about earlier, where I had my kind of ghosty experience with somebody, you know, leaning up against me. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to go there because, you know, we're like, oh, cool. We'll go see Freak the bartender. He's a philosopher. We can talk with him. We knew the bar,
we know everybody.
The band, yeah. You know, we yep. knew all these people there. So we'll go there. You know, we get there and there's only one person working. There's, and it's just the manager.
Only this one was, human being.
Yeah. Wow. This was some, you know, this was a manager. He was a manager when I worked there. So. We're like,
the point is there's only one human being. This right, place right. is huge.
Yeah, it's they've got, you know, the bar downstairs, you know, right off of Bourbon. They've got the courtyard for the restaurant, and you know, they've got a nightclub upstairs. Nothing going on.
There's no people. There's no yeah. patrons. There's no customers. Yeah. There's no
now. Yeah, there's wow. a few people out on the street, but what we call stragglers. Mm-hmm. Just right. I mean, here and there, we go on in and we talk to him for a second. Mm-hmm. He is a Mardi Gras Indian. So he takes us upstairs because he knew that Alta was a Native American. He wanted to show Alta his regalia. Mm-hmm. And so he goes up. He shows us his costume, his Mardi Gras Indian.
Let me just interject. When Chad goes yeah. into that portion of the story, I usually leave it out because as far as I'm concerned, that whole thing that he's about trying to share with you, I find very bizarre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chad almost makes it sound normal, but not in my soul. My soul tells me something was very off about this
okay.
experience and him showing us this Indian part of his life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back downstairs. You know, he turns the lights off and we go back downstairs. When we didn't stay there long, I mean, we pretty much left right after that. We're like, well, you know, because we wanted to find some place, you know, with, you know, a few alive. People, you know, yeah, that it was humans. Alive, you know.
So right, right.
And some, you
a
know,
party.
Live, right.
live music or something, mm-hmm. you know. And we leave Bourbon Street. And again, you know, there's other bars that we stopped at two or three other places kind of, you know, in our walk, in our little journey.
It's the same and night, it's the same experience. Thing. There's nobody.
Nobody in. Mm-mm. Nobody in.
Mm-mm. Wow.
So we end up, right. we're kind of on the end of the French
Quarter.
We
made the 13 blocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No party.
You know, more towards Esplanade and what they call Frenchman and all. And there was this one bar that we would go to, you know, every once in a while. Again, we knew the bartenders and the stuff. It was a Thai restaurant downstairs and upstairs, we called the Dragon's Den. Mm-hmm. And it was just this awesome place.
And it's still in effect
music.
Now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. great music. You know, you could get Thai food. We go up the stairs. You know, we got this kind of windy staircase. We get up the stairs. The doors close.
First time ever.
And there's a sign on the door, $5 cover charge.
First time ever.
Yeah. Okay. You know, now we're not cheap, but, you know, we always tip the, you know.
We've just never gone through that before.
Right. Yeah.
I think I peeked in, looked in, didn't know the band, and we just kind of shit that. I mean, I just kind of looked in, and we just kind of pivoted. You know, I kind of shook my head. The girls hadn't even made it up the stairs yet, you know. I kind of shook my head, and, you know, we're like, and back down the stairs we go. We end up kind of crossing the street, you know, the next block down. And we go to this place called Checkpoint Charlie's. Again, mm-hmm. this is a place that always got live music. It's always going. Again, there's one person. I remember one person behind the bar and a doorman. Well, there was nobody to doorman. Why would you need a doorman when there's nobody around?
Right.
You know? In the first place, and this is just a little guy, kind of blondish, you know, surfer guy kind of looking. And we didn't, again, we didn't even go in. Alta and I walk about a half a block down, and we start sitting on the stoop. And our friend Christine, she kind of, she stops, and she's talking to this, you know, the doorman. And I'll kind of let Alta pick it up a little bit, and
Well, before we go any further with the rest of that particular event that happened to us, just to back up, because speaking on Christina's part, okay, so Christina, if we might just go back maybe several days prior to this night in 97, I'm not sure exactly how further back, but not too long prior, Christina had shared with me that she broke up with a guy she had dated, and I always say, like, for a minute in her life. Mm-hmm. His name is Will. I always called him Dark Boy because he was her polar opposite. Mm-hmm. As I said before, she's tall, long, modelish, kind of long blonde hair. He's adorable, long black hair, but he had a darkness about him. So I called him Dark Boy. Mm-hmm. And so she really liked him, but she wanted to see others. So she decides she's going to invite him over to her apartment. She lived in a duplex on the other side of the river in a place called Algiers Point at the time. Mm-hmm. And she's going to invite him over during the daytime. They're going to have this little visit on the porch, and she's going to basically, I like your butt story, right, and let him down gently. She tells me that now she's a physical kind of person like I am. She has no problem hugging and touching. And she says they're only just a few inches in front of each other's face. And she's telling him the I like your butt kind of story. And she says he's becoming so emotional, mm-hmm, sense of what she was picking up from him, just that energy. Now, this is her story, and she stuck to it, and she's never changed it. And I know she's not lying. And she said he turned into a wolf. She said she turned her head away instantly in shock, and I knew she was telling me the truth. Well, she wouldn't lie to me. But I knew she was telling that truth because that's what I did when I saw that floating city, UFO or whatever that right was.
Wow.
Turned my head to chat. So she turns her head away instantly. She looks back, and he must have shifted human and then shifted a second time. At this point now, I'll clean the language up, but her words, you just turned into an effing wolf. And she said his response in a very startled voice, you saw that. Well, right.
Wow.
Right. I mean, it just, not the first time I've repeated this portion of it because it's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
On this particular night in 97, fast forward now to our night, the three of us trying to have a party that doesn't seem to exist out there. Mm-hmm. Chad and I have wandered over to the stoop. I am grumbling to him. I just want to go home.
And it's only about like 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we've only been out for an hour and a half or so.
Yeah. Trying to find a place. There's just something going on.
That was not existing. And wow. So Chad's seeming to be in agreement with me, and that's the last thing the three of us collectively remember on that corner around 11 o'clock. The next thing I know is that I am sitting straight up in my living room, Indian style, cross-legged. I'm rubbing my arms. I feel something in my upper arm that was not there before that I'm aware of. I didn't wake up. I came to.
Wow.
My eyes popped open.
Wow.
And it's daytime. It's somewhere between 8 and 9 in the morning.
Wow.
Whoa.
The sun is like blaring through the window, and I'm in my apartment. I'm in my townhouse. Now, the whoa part of that is absolutely whoa, because I seem to be the only one out of the three of us that has memory of what I call the in-between, where I have none at all, mm-hmm, off that street, and I have none at all about being returned home. But I have this full-blown thing that's in the middle. And then Chad has had regression, hypnotic regression, done several years ago. We had moved from New Orleans in 2001. We moved to Alabama, where his father and his mother, not prospectively together, but live in the same small town, mm-hmm, their partners all live. We relocated there. And we lived there for about 11 years, so 10 years, somewhere in that effect. While we lived there, we found somebody to do regression on Chad. See if that night could be recalled.
Right.
Now, Chad has a regression that, again, if you're all interested, certainly we'll have him share with you of what he experienced. I'd like to mention, if you do or if you don't, in my memory, Chad and Christina are not part of my experience.
Hmm.
I also have an encounter with a blonde female being, and I call her a being.
Mm.
In Chad's regression, it would seem he is encountering at least four, maybe five different types of beings.
Wow.
And the blonde is not one of his. Also, I'm not in his regression at all, in his experience. We're not sure if Christine is or is not. There's a portion of his experience where he's just not sure. So we don't know. And in Christina's experience, the last thing she remembers is around 11 on that corner, just like we said to you. And the next thing she knows, she's behind the steering wheel of her moving car. It's in another portion of the city than where she parked it that morning, because we didn't leave in a car. We left on foot.
Right, right.
Wow.
But she's behind the steering wheel of the car. It's moving slowly. It hit a parked car, and it knocked off her rearview mirror, which is, seems to be heading to Wolfie Boy's house. I mean, wow. It's a bad movie. It only gets stranger. So, kind of get up to y'all if you want to know more.
I definitely think we want to know more for sure. We definitely want to hear your stories, but I also want to take a quick bathroom break.
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience and we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
If you all are interested, and I think you would be, we just had our most, I consider our most frightening, and everything I've told you I think is frightening on some level, but we had just had our most frightening, for me in particular, on this Valentine's, right back here in New Orleans. Yeah, crazy.
But like, we got time, so we'll go ahead and we'll get into the what happened during the missing time,
right?
And then you can go wherever, you can go from whatever you feel like the meat of it would be to go from there. And of course, we can have you back. We'll figure out another time to get the stars aligned so that we can do this again if we need to.
Absolutely, that'll be awesome. Yeah, we've got plenty. I'm sorry to say, we've got plenty.
Good.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So the missing time.
So we'll have Chad share that regression with you.
Yeah, let's go there.
So again, the last thing we remember, it's 11-ish. Again, only been out like an hour and a half or so. So, not enough time to,
No alcohol, no drugs.
No alcohol, no drugs, We
and nobody around a druggist, it would appear.
Right.
Right.
So in my regression, what comes out, we're standing, Alton and I are standing at the stoop, kind of mid-block between Esplanade and Frenchman.
And you might want to look this up, or we could send that to you.
Right out. And our friend, she comes and joins us. I kind of notice this bright light coming from around the corner off of Frenchman Street. Get the girl's attention. We walk kind of down to the corner. We look up into the kind
look
of
ahead.
Yeah, like it's probably about a half a block down the street. It's about 15, 20 foot off the ground. there's this orb of light, and it's just this beautiful, white, clean, just beautiful light. It's probably about 12 foot in diameter. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's this huge mm-hmm. orb mm-hmm. of light. We're standing there, we're looking at it, and it just comes towards us and just engulfs us. It takes wow. us in. It orb ducks us. Which is wow.
kind of where that's the name of the book.
Less, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Gotcha.
So my next memory is I'm walking down this corridor, this like hallway. There's this little being in front of me. Now, he's got like this pale gray. I only see him from behind. I don't ever remember seeing his face.
And Chad says in the regression, they're gently leaning to the right.
Yeah, it's as just kind of just kind of, yeah. The walls and everything are very metallic. No rivets, no bolts, no seams, just beautiful, just smooth. Very smooth.
Right.
I'm following this little being. And again, he's got this big bulbous head, kind of a pale gray skin tone. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't look like the grays, thin grays that you see on TV. He's kind of got substance to him. He kind of wobbles when he walks. You know, he's almost dwarfish or like a small person. You mm-hmm. know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of the corner of my eye to my left, I could see a tall blonde female walking beside me. I don't ever remember turning to look. This does describe our friend that was with us that night, but I never mm-hmm. turned to see if it was her or somebody else.
Right. I was gonna say that sounds like the friend that was with you. I was wondering if it was her or if it was.
We wish we knew.
I don't know. My next memory is I'm in this room and it just seems infinite. It's very, very dark. Off to my left, I could see a tall blonde female laying on an examining table. Mm-hmm. She was nude, but it was almost like censored, you know, from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like what they do on regular TV, you know, when they show nudity and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Blurred out.
Very it's
like fuzzed blurred. Out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. fuzzed out. There were three beings around her, one on each side and one at her head. They were very tall, like 7, 8 foot tall.
Wow.
Very buggish, praying mantis-y looking.
Oh.
They were wearing these cloaks, but there was no hood. You know, that you know, kind of like the Grim Reaper, but you know, mm-hmm. no hood. Right, you know, right. Or a priest or something.
Right, right.
And that female that was laying on the examining table felt to be unconscious. Mm-hmm. You know, she was not in distress or anything like that. You know, there was no panic in her. I never saw any kind of weird things going on.
And again, this was not the woman on the table was not your friend. It was a different blonde.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell who it was because it was blurred from, you know, to the top of their head to
the
bottom of her feet. I focused my attention back to my immediate. Now, there was some lights, you know, around the examining table around her. And then there were some little lights, you know, around my immediate. But again, off in the distance, I could not see anything, you know, because this room seemed just so big.
Mm.
I'm sitting in this chair almost like a barber or a dentist chair, but more comfortable.
Okay.
I focus my attention back to my immediate, and I look over to the right, and there's this little blue being. Now, he looks a lot like the grays that you see on TV, you know, big bulbous head, almond-shaped eyes, you know, very, maybe 3.5-4 foot tall, very thin, but he was blue. And when I say blue, he's like this, just vibrant, lively blue.
Huh.
Is his aura, his presence seemed to be that of like a professor / shaman / scientist / just old knowledge.
Right.
You know,
right.
This ancient knowledge. He goes over and he picks up this box and he's got it in his right hand. He takes his left hand. Now he's only got four digits.
Okay. You
know, four fingers. he takes his left hand and puts it inside the box. And when he brings his hand out, there's this substance kind of free floating a couple inches off of his hand. It's kind of undulating, and it looks kind of like that slime stuff that the kids play with. You know, it's right. kind of translucent. It was blue like mm-hmm. him, but then it had little sparkly, glittery, metally looking things in it. You know, mm-hmm. He takes his right hand. I don't ever remember him setting the box down. He takes his right hand. He fold again, four, only four digits. He takes his outer fingers and folds them into his palm and kind of does this like peace sign, or, you know, like the sign you'd see, you know, the Buddhist monks do, or, you know, depictions right. of the saints or Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So he had the first two fingers together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. his two fingers.
Not, but they didn't make it like a V, but they were together like one. Yeah.
Well, okay. they were kind of split up, but not, you know, not like you're doing like the peace sign or anything. Okay. You know, they were separated a little bit.
Okay.
When he does this, this substance starts spinning, and it's just going faster and faster and faster. And as it the faster it gets, the sparkly and the glitter flakes kind of dissipate out of it, and the blueness kind of dissipate out of it, and kind of rotating around it, orbiting around it, and it starts slowing down, and it turned into this like double pointed, very clean crystal, you know, very, you know, kind of double pointed, you know, pyramid shaped.
Wow.
Beautiful mm-hmm. crystal. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to him, you know, kind of telepathically, I guess, you know, why are you showing this to me? You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an engineer.
Right.
You know, why are you showing this to me? You know, and he said, and he told me again, you know, in my brain, you know, telepathically or whatever, yeah. you know, that I would know in time or when it's time.
Okay.
My next memory is I'm in this other room. It's not very big. There's only three walls, two that are very straight and one that's kind of concave.
Okay.
Again, the walls are very metallic, you know, no rivets, no bolts, no seams, you know, very smooth. Now, this is kind of the part I really hate talking about, but it's part of the story, right?
Okay. Okay.
There's this overstuffed black leather chair sitting in the middle of the room. And I remember thinking how out of place it looked first. And mm-hmm. my next thought was, it looks comfortable, but it's not. So I focused my attention back to this wall that was kind of concave, and I walked a little closer to it. And what I thought was a solid wall, I could see through it. You know, it was translucent.
Okay.
And, you know, this wall was probably 15 foot long and probably 10 foot ceilings. You know, I mean, it's just huge. And I'm looking out into the universe, you know, with stars and, you know, the darkness of the space and, you know, just all these, you know, planets and, you know, off in the distance and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there in awe. And then all of a sudden, just if I could reach through the wall, I could have touched it. All of a sudden, this little craft, this little whatever it was, shoots past. And it, you know, past me, you know, it goes shooting past, and it gets about 8, 9, 10 feet away, and it stops like on a dime and then comes back. It's almost like it was doing a double take, you know, like it was surprised to see me as I was it.
Huh.
Huh.
And it's probably about 3 foot long. It's probably about 2 foot wide, kind of rugby ball or football kind of shaped, you know. Not as sharp as a football, but kind of, you know, that kind of shape.
Right.
It was metallic. It had little lights blinking on it and little wires shifting around and antennas moving around. I could feel intelligence coming out of it, but I don't know if it was, you know, something organic inside or if it was just, you know, just intelligent craft or something.
Mm-hmm.
It sat there and it was like, you know, it was like wow, look at the monkey in the cage kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. I got off of it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And it sat there for just a few seconds, you know, maybe 20, 30 seconds, you know, at the most, and shoots off again in the same direction. And my next memory is waking up in bed the next morning.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot. That's so much. Yeah. There's like, wow.
Yeah, it was a trip. And when I woke up, yeah, it was a long, strange trip.
Yeah. And you woke up, and where you were in bed, yeah? You said you were in your bed.
I was in bed.
And by yourself?
I was alone.
Okay.
I get up.
Were you wearing the same? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't remember. I think I may have put my pajamas on, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, I was going to ask about if you're wearing the same clothes, but yeah. So.
Yeah. I get up. I could tell Alto's already up. You know, I saw her kind of in the room. And our apartment was kind of like one big room, but it had like these big shutter doors, you know, kind of in between, you know, to kind of split it off into two big rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Up to, from the bedroom to the living room.
So like and French doors where they pull
yeah,
together?
Yeah, okay. Kind of sliding doors.
Okay, you know, okay.
Like shutter doors, sliding doors.
Gotcha.
And so I get up and I start walking towards her and she's, you know, at this time walking to me and I'm like, what happened to us last night? And how did we get home? And she looked at me and she goes, I was hoping you would tell me.
Wow, man.
Now she starts telling me there's this thing in my arm and so she points to this where she has this something in her arm and I go, and what about these bruises? She had like handprints. Now again, they were just four digits, but they were very long. Wrapped all the way around her arms.
Wow.
As if somebody was holding her from behind or, you know, maybe two beings on each side holding her up, you know, I don't know. But it was, and then, you know, she had a totally different experience than me.
Oh, wow. Damn, man. That's very intense.
Very indeed. And the four different types of, or five, how many, you said five different types?
I had the little being that I followed down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
I had the three beings that were around her that I saw.
The little blue ones, the ones that were like insect-like.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about those types of, you know, people having experience with those, and those usually are not pleasant experiences.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now in my experience, I was never, and I'm usually an anxious kind of guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, I was never scared. I was never worried. I was never, I don't ever remember being, you know, hurt or, you know, panicking or scared or anything. So, you know, I do, you know, I don't have full memory, but, you know, I do have partial memory and I don't remember anything.
Wow. Fascinating.
That's just...
The way you describe the aircraft is the way that when Bob Lazar talks about, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but when he talks about it, that's kind of the way he describes is that the aircraft, it's like everything's been molded out of a out of a thing that you can't tell where something starts, like where a wall begins and the floor start. You know what I mean? It's just like all perfectly melds together. It's it's fascinating stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's, for whatever reason, that's one of the things I'm most drawn to is that idea of you're in a physical object that you can't put into words. you know, the technology and I don't know why, but that's one thing that fascinates me about those types of stories.
Well, let's get to your experience of it, because you said you remember kind of what happened on your own. So let's hear that, because sitting here with bated breath, you know.
Very different than Chad's experience, but again, in my experience, I felt it beyond beautiful for the most part until the very end of it. Okay. So one minute we're on that corner, the last thing I said I have clear memory of is I just want to go home, and then the next thing I know, I'm standing on the edge of a crater. Now, the best description I know how to make of this, what's going on around me, what appears around me, the coloring, I feel like I'm looking like I'm experiencing, I'm in the middle of a black and white, the black and white movies, or the whatever of the so-called moon landing. Mm-hmm. That's what my environment looks like. It's that coloring, and I'm standing on the edge of a huge crater, and I am looking down in the crater, and I see what appears to be a metallic looking, at the time it felt like a big warehouse or a hangar. I don't know. I don't know that I even gave that deep a thought. I really didn't have time, because as I'm looking down there, I see this big metallic structure. There's no movement of any kind. I don't see anybody, anything, just that structure. And as I'm getting ready to try to take that in, and my gaze comes upward. Now I see what appear to be orbs of light all around the perimeter of this crater. These orbs are white light that I say, you know, bigger than a bread box. If you know what an old bread, now I'm starting to sound old. These orbs are like bigger than a bread box all the way around it. They feel alive. They feel intelligent, whatever that means, just expressing what I'm experiencing. Before I can start to do any more processing, now I'm surrounded in a night sky that's pitch black, and the ground all around me looks like I'm standing in a black and white movie of that so-called moon landing.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I'm aware something behind me. So I don't completely turn around. I somewhat pivot around to the right, and I see behind me. And as Chad mentioned to you about, you know, he gets kind of weirded out when he has to tell people about a big black chair that looked comfortable but wasn't in his experience. Because this is the stuff that's happening in these experiences that really, not that there's any logic to any of this, but this really has no logic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I feel something behind me. I pivot around and I see what appear to be human looking humans. A few of them, maybe three. I think three, four if I'm pushing it. They're dogpiled on each other. They're all dressed. They all appear to be in suspended animation. And they're of different ages. They all appear to be Caucasian. There's an old man. I remember a little girl. And I think somebody in between. Now, my normal behavior is to get in the way, to help too much. Mm-hmm. So my normal behavior would be to head over to them and try to figure out, why are you piled up and what's what? Well, before I can do anything, all of a sudden I'm aware now there's something right next to me on the edge of that crater. And when I say right next to me, it's almost touching me, so close. I turn back and I refer to her as her. And I say it with such love, I don't even know how to muster hardly those words. I am standing next to a female that's well over 6 feet tall. I'm about 5'5", and I've got to crank my head back to look up at her. She is as close to, I didn't know this was my idea of perfection until I had the experience, but she is, in this experience, perfection.
Hmm.
She is perfectly proportioned. She's stunningly beautiful. She has long blonde hair. And she's in a bodysuit, best I could tell, or at least whatever is covering her body. Almost looks like another skin, but it's, I think, a suit. Like a, it almost would make you think of somebody in a diving suit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't remember feet necessarily, because I was just so, Well, I didn't, and as I've said in the past, I didn't care who she was. I wasn't going to ask her anything. Mm-hmm. I was so happy to be with her mm-hmm. that I've often said in description, if I would have been a puppy with a tail, I was wagging it off. I was wow. so happy to wow. be with her. And as I'm looking up at her and I'm taking all this in, then my gaze goes higher up into the sky. The sky now is full of what appear to be stars that I've said in the past is corny, cheesy, crazy as it sounds. They look like diamonds.
Right.
They are yeah. just beautiful. And I'm so happy I can't hardly breathe. And then all of a sudden, one of those in particular, those diamond stars, began to move. And then shortening the story, they were doing a dance across that sky. They were doing things they couldn't do. And then I remember going from instant, that state of what felt bliss, to a state of terror, just that fast. My heart felt like it was going to beat out of my chest. I became so afraid because all of a sudden now they can't do that. Why are they, you know, that's that strange historical logic of mine mm-hmm. that seems to shut me down with something in the sky. So anyhow, when I go into that fear factor, that fear mode, she speaks to me telepathically. I'll never have that kind of voice or that tone, can I imagine, can be humanly possible, but it is so beautiful the way she responds to me in this tone. And she calls me by name and she said, Alta, don't be afraid. They're just scanning you. And at that very moment is the last thing that my memory takes in. And then the next thing I know, as I said, I didn't wake up. I came to sitting up in my living room.
Wow.
With an object wow. in my upper arm.
How long
did, something in my upper arm.
How long did it take you to recall that?
I knew it instantly.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that was instant. Now, several years later, again, I won't share names. I chose to pay what was considered one of the highly sought out people in the world to get regression done. Mm-hmm. I paid this person a lot of money in cash. I feel I was abused. Mm. Chad and I both were. And the regression did not happen. So I tried sincerely once. Mm-hmm. When I originally was going to get regression, I was heading to, this sounds just like a silly movie, I was just heading to Harvard. I was going to Harvard. Mm. I had discovered a doctor by the name of Dr. John Mack, who has now since died, who wrote a book many years ago, I think called Abducted or something of that nature. Some of those, I don't know these words, but anyhow, Dr. Mack was a Harvard professor, a psychiatrist who got involved in, you know, their words. I've never used the word alien. I've never used the word ET. I've never used any of those words. I refer to them as the beings.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't know anything, I don't know where I was. I've often said, when people have ever been curious as to my thoughts about where was I, I've often said, I don't know if I was in the distant past or the distant future of this planet, or was I on another planet? And right. does another planet really exist?
Right.
You know, these things I don't know, because I'm originally told that I'm out of the Southwest. The area I'm told I come from is currently a huge crater. That whole community has been moved. It was involved in copper mining. And the whole community, from the point of me being born there, supposedly, stopped being a community, because that's just more to this mystery.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
That hospital that was connected to that community, that was moved as well, and can't get those records.
Right.
I mean, it's just, but again, the point is, it's a huge crater.
Yeah. Wow. So
that reminded me again, you know, we got a lot of craters on this planet.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just that it so happened in my memory, whatever I was standing on looked just like those old moon pictures.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's, I mean, so much to unravel there, too, with the dogpile people. and Ooh. With just all of it. I mean, it's just it seems like the connection is possibly between the two of you is the woman, the blonde woman, if it's the same type person or even the same person. But it's just, it's so unusual, the other experiences that you had, because it seems like yours was almost all outdoors, whereas Chad's was all indoors.
Exactly. Wow. And our friend, just to, again, tie off her story.
Yeah.
So we shared with you about Wolfie Boy. I call him mm-hmm. Wolfie yeah. Boy. Mm-hmm. So when she's coming to and car hits her car, as I said before, it seems her car is heading to Wolfie Boy's hood. And right. he lives in the hood. And that's not someplace she needs to be at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Right.
Plus, I guarantee you, she's not somebody who's going to go back ever around a Wolfie Boy. Mm-hmm. That's not her style, and she ain't going to do it. And so she ends up and repeats this to us, shares this portion of it. She claims that she ends up driving right up to Wolfie Boy's house. He's got a big iron gate around his house, and he lives like in a fourplex, old Victorian that's been turned into a fourplex, whatever mm-hmm. apartments. He lives in a downstairs apartment. Apparently that gate's always locked. Well, of course not on this morning, because this is right. again a creepy movie. So the gate's wide open. She gets out of the car and she goes up the steps. This is so not her. Trust what I'm telling you. This is not her. She goes up the steps. She says that he's sitting right inside the freaking door. The door is open. And he's playing guitar underneath a light, like hanging above him. She said She said she goes in. And now this is just so not her. She says he stops playing, puts the guitar down, and says something crazy like, either we've been or I've been waiting for you. Again, bad movie.
Yeah.
She says she starts to become, now that again, this is so not her behavior, somewhat hysterical. And like she's having an emotional collapse.
Right.
She says she starts to cry. That's just not her way. She said he leads her into a room, lays her down. She says she cries herself to sleep. She said she wakes up maybe a couple hours later because the sun seems to just be rising. She said she's dressed. It doesn't appear he's done anything to her. And she said she got the flock out of Dodge and never looked back.
Do you know what happened to your friend? What did she experience? Do you know what her experience during the missing time was?
Right. So, nope. She's got those hours missing. I will tell you, I have a little different take on the wake up or the coming to, in my case, coming to right. Chad waking up that morning. Mm-hmm. So when I come to, I'm the first one awake.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes pop open. One minute I'm on a street corner with my husband and my buddy. Mm-hmm. And the next minute I'm in my living room and I'm alone. Yeah. Now I'm beyond freaked out. I'm beyond this because I'm rubbing my arm and I feel something sticking out in my upper arm. And I'm losing my mind. That's to put it quite mildly. Where is Chad? Where is Christina? You know, is what I'm saying, like screaming this out. I'm also got that memory I just shared with you all rushing through me. This is all happening at one time. I see a lump in my bedroom. And the lump is covered in blankie from, you know, top to bottom. I've said this before. I'm praying to the heavens that there are two lumps in my bed. This is when it would be more than acceptable to have two lumps in my bed. So I get up off the, I'm on a day bed in my living room. I get off that day bed and I'm starting to head for that lump. Well, my bathroom detours me because it happens to be right there. What the hell is in my arm?
Right.
So I detour to the bathroom. I go through absolute effing insanity in the bathroom with my upper arm with this object. I'm already now so beyond flipped out I can't breathe. But now again, that lump better be Chad. And where is Christina? Mm-hmm. As I start barreling towards, because he said it much calmer, and you hear we're very different in this regards, he is kind of somewhat dazed moving towards me. He's up out of the bed, and thank God the lump is mine, but she's missing. As he's moving towards me and I'm coming towards him, once again, oh my good Jesus. So speeding that story up, we're both mortified. terrified beyond words because we've already been through absolute insult beyond measure by detectives.
Right.
Fire over something that, you know, took 20 years to be solved. Now she's missing.
Yeah.
Where do we go? And who do we tell? And what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're in such a, I hear you all are hearing us that you can almost try to imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We decide I'm off work conveniently for the next 2 days. Again, this is all convenience. So my words are Chad and I hunker down for 2 days in our townhouse in a community where all we had to do was call for food. They deliver it. We didn't stick our head out of that door. We did not step out. We're back and forth debating and somewhat arguing. You call her. No, you call her. No, I'm not calling her. You call her. Because we're just in this state of there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And we have to be determined to accept each other. So 2 days later, I got to go back to work. So first time I remember daylight where I'm out on those streets and I go to work and there she is, just like nothing ever happened.
Wow. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
So if, because there's so much, of course, of our travels out to the Southwest again, when Chad and I then left New Orleans and ended up in New Mexico, and then we ended up in the Denver area, then we come back. Then life went on to a whole nother ball game dealing with Sasquatches and lizard monkeys and all kinds of craziness in Alabama.
Holy shit.
Then we discover that Chad's father, I'm kind of curling this back around because I know you've all got families and all, but if I could, and again, you'll guide me about this last experience on Valentine's, but when we find it, when we get reconnected in Alabama, Chad's father, he'll never admit it, not publicly, but he certainly didn't deny it to Chad. So Chad knows it's true. His father and his adult brother, a year or so before we moved there in 2001, they lived in small lake community outside of Birmingham, Alabama. So they're about 3 hours from airport in Atlanta, major airport. Dad does a lot of world traveling. He had a business and a home down in Panama. And so he's in and out a lot. So he's got this adult brother driving him to Atlanta Airport early, early, early one morning. This is, again, about a year or so before we moved there. The sun's just starting to rise. They're driving through an area called Talladega National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Big highway runs past that. They say they're like the only ones out on the highway because that's how convenient all these stories work out to be. They look way ahead and they see what looks like a hitcher on the side of the highway side of the guardrail, scrouched down. They get closer. They see a great big huge pack on his back and they're pretty convinced, you know, they got a hitchhiker that's about to, you know, stick out a thumb or whatever. They say as they get closer, this thing stands up, and this thing is, like, they're indicating over 8-9 feet tall. It is, that's not a backpack on its back, that's its body, and it is covered in hair, and it stands straight up, looks directly at them as they're driving by, and then very slowly turns and doesn't run, doesn't even move fast, just saunters off up into the forest.
Wow. Damn.
Now, it was too direct. It was just too direct. Because then the father goes on to tell, well, the father doesn't, but he's married to a female that is the third wife. They are down in Cancun, Mexico, partying for new millennia. So this is 2000.
Okay.
They're with, I think, another couple or whatever. They're down there partying hardy and good. These are some high rollers. So they're parked their chairs and their partying favors and whatever on the beach away from all the tourism because they're going to have a big fireworks night off over the ocean down in Cancun, whatever. They want to get away from all that hullabaloo. They park themselves around a shrine that's called something shrine or something to the puma, I think it is. Some kind of a shrine to the puma, big cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that right, Chad?
Yeah, it's the temple of the
puma. Oh, you picked that up. Chad stepped out a second. He just stepped back in.
Okay.
Temple of the puma?
Yeah, the temple of the puma. And they said they set their chairs up and they're kind of watching the, you know, the fireworks. And so they're all, you know, focusing, you know, up to the sky. And they said, and, you know, I had just told them my story about seeing this craft in Hammond.
Yeah. And in Louisiana.
And I described it to them. And now dad's sitting right next, you know, dad's sitting, you know, right there. And, you know, he's kind of acknowledging, but he ain't saying nothing. Uh-huh. You know,
all the talking.
Yeah, she's doing all the talking. And she goes, and the way you described it is exactly what we saw. You know,
they said a puma scream came out. Yeah. They heard a cat scream.
A big cat scream.
Scared the bejesus out of them.
And then
fireworks going off in the sky above them.
Yeah. And then they see this thing.
Saw this UFO shaped like what Chad described.
Wow. And, you know, just our luck, they get to see it, you know, above this, you know,
partying in Cancun.
Beautiful, you know,
right.
We see ours above Walmart.
Yeah. You guys go see where I think you're clearly the winner there.
We absolutely have no luck in that area.
Just goes to show you that everybody has to go to Walmart for something. So
yeah, right.
Oh, that's terrible. Everybody. Yeah. So, you know, it would appear obviously just these few little stories, this family sort of crazy sounding connection on all these other levels, cryptid and crafted and this and that and so on. And again, ever getting the opportunity to visit with you all again, there's a lot of other experiences in all the other parts of the country that we experienced.
You guys have been
definitely
such an interesting talk because it's like your entire, I love that you've taken the time to draw the parallels between all these things in your lives. You know, it's like you're living sort of this experience, and it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to listen to.
We thank you for that, because as I'll finish this off then, unless we need to stop at this very moment, the most frightening, as I've said before, just happened. And so this is when, again, before we finish this off, just again, we can't thank you both enough for what you do, and the fact that you're just as gentle and kind and funny as you all are, and that you input and that you care. And that's another reason, you know, Chad and I are pretty much on our own. Chad has a lot of family, but they're long distance, and we're on our own, and I have no one.
Yep.
And Chad and my dog, Sydney, and, you know, essentially, this stuff is scary. It's very scary. And it's just nice to know that there are folks out there that are willing to hear us and that, you know, care at least to hear what's happening. So the most latest was we relocated back here in 2016. I'm contracted into a shop as a reader doing readings in the French Quarter again. This shop is in, you know, the high tourism area. It's a very nice area as far as comfort and what we offer. We sell beautiful jewelry, beautiful crystals, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And, you know, just nothing cheapsy or chintzy about this. And then I offer readings. And then there are other readers as well. One reader at a time on shift. My shifts happen to be generally, now it's like 3 to 8, 3 p.m. to 8. Uh-huh. Used to be 3 to 9. Okay, so this was when it was the 9 period. Doesn't matter. It was the end of the night. The one thing I don't want to do is be dealing with the French Quarter anymore, personally.
Yeah.
This is a matter of logistics and economics and so on. So my objective is to get in and get out as quickly as I can. Chad has become my super Uber driver. He does it beautifully, and he negotiates me. He gets me in and he gets me out, and then he takes care of all our other business and handles everything else. Nice. So point is that French Quarter is crazy. Traffic is insane most of the time, but he negotiates it beautifully. So on this particular night, Valentine's, Valentine's, it's 9 o'clock. It's early, but it's just getting started. Pat, I call Chad. I say, I'm ready. He says, now he has a different tone. You've heard Chad. He's nice. He's funny. He's easy. He's gentle. This particular night, he's got a strange tone when he answers the phone. And I say, I'm ready or whatever. And he says, I'm just around the corner. He's a bit short sounding. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just around the corner. That means he should be there in less than a minute. Because around the corner, it's a little corner. I'm at the end of the block. He should be there in a blink.
Yeah.
I'll move this story around. It takes Chad an hour to get to me.
Damn.
Now, in that hour's time, my version, and then I'll hand this off to him to tell you what he experienced. My version is, I call him again minutes later because he's not there. Every time I call Chad, and I've called him several times in that hour, he's answering the calls. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's missing. But the second or third time I called him, I could hear the blinker on the car. I also heard what I thought sounded like a bizarre whisper, like somebody was in the car next to him and had whispered something. Hmm. That would be just too weird. He wouldn't have anybody in the car with him.
Right.
So when he answers that call, he's getting shorter and shorter with me. I'm just around the corner kind of language, like it's getting short-toned and not Chad's way.
Yeah.
Now, these other calls that I'm making to him, he's taking these calls, but he sounds like he's tripping. He sounds like he is out of his mind somewhat. He sounds like he's taking the calls, but he can never tell me where he's at. We're talking 13 blocks. Hmm. We're talking about just a community.
Around, should have been just around the corner.
A community he knows inwards and outwards and backwards, but he cannot tell me what his street is. So now this is Chad's story. His memory and what he understands is.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, cause I do remember Alta calling, you know, a couple of times, and, but all of a sudden my lights come back on and I'm mentally. Mentally. Mm-hmm. I'm
way out of the quarter.
Way out of the French Quarter. I'm back up towards, you know, like the
he's on Canal Street.
End of Canal Street.
Okay.
Back up towards the graveyards and all.
Yeah.
Which is out of the French Quarter several miles. Canal Street's one of the most major thoroughfares through the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
anybody that doesn't
I remember kind of coming to or coming, you know, back to my senses and I'm sitting at this light. And like, there's no traffic. Now, there's this no is traffic. Valentine's night, and this is like the major thoroughflare
through, at 9 o'clock.
You know, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You know, 9 o'clock at night. I swear I hit every red light.
Heading back to
Alta. Mm-hmm. And I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
I had no thoroughly idea confused. How wow. I got there.
He was sober?
I was sober.
No drugs,
no drinking, you know. I mean, I may have had a couple of beers, but that's it, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And,
wow.
But,
right.
I mean.
Yeah, maybe a celebratory beer for anniversary, but he's sober.
Yeah. And so I get back, get
he
out.
He picks me up. I get in the car. We're both panicked, mortified. You know,
we're both just freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Mortified. So the next day, I'm like, wait a minute. I've got GPS on my phone and it tracks, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly of it, you know, it tracks. I'm like, I got to find out what's, you know, what happened, you know, and where I went and how I got there. I go back and I look at, you know,
the GPS thing,
right. The map, and it shows me coming into the French Quarter, parking just around, you know,
around the corner.
It shows me going around the block, and that's it. That whole other hour or whatever it took for me to go way out, you know, mm-hmm. miles away.
None of it's there.
Holy shit.
It's not there. Plus, the way you don't live with somebody almost 30 years like Chad and I have been with each other and not know them.
Of course.
And every time he'd answer that phone, that voice scared the shit out of me.
Wow.
Because I just
bizarre.
I knew, and he was using words like something bizarre is happening, and I'm like, what? What do you mean something, you know, like, what?
Wow.
I'm standing in the middle of the quarter on Valentine's with all those revelers and everybody's right. just all happy and yada, yada. And I got, you know, and I got this and
wow. right.
And it's not here the next day. Yeah.
Damn.
So that's been, and another last couple very freaky since we've come back here. We've been public since 2011. Again, not by our choice, kind of brought out, and then mm-hmm. we just stayed with it. So we've done a lot of interviews,
uh-huh.
and never, maybe well over 100 interviews, never has there been EVPs, I think is the language, mm-hmm. ghosties, none of that, ever, mm-hmm. until we moved back here. We get back here in about 2017, we did two interviews kind of almost in a row, maybe only some days or weeks in between. The first one, you can see the dude on camera, the host. Mm-hmm. He's got a co-host that's long distance somewhere else, a female. You see the dude when he's interviewing us, and it's a long interview. At some point, there is some kind of very bizarre electronic growl kind of weird sound come across. I think it was Chad talking, his voice. And you see the dude react to this. So that told me instantly, oh, he's not doing this. These aren't some weird sound effects, the host or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I could just tell by his reaction. He didn't really say anything, and we didn't. We just kept going. Now we're in the interview where I'm talking. I happen to be talking, I think, about maybe Dark Boy, a Wolfie Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, or maybe it was Chad talking, and Chad had been talking about Rougarou Festival. The Rougarou, if you are aware or if you're not, is the word for, and I might not even be pronouncing it right, werewolf, like a swamp wolf, a wow. swamp werewolf.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rougarou. Well, they started to put on a big festival here at once a year to help build money and create and whatever for the swamplands, to the marshlands. Mm-hmm. So economically, they're just trying anything they can. And people are being drawn to this from all over the world because everybody's interested in werewolves and stuff.
Yeah.
So Chad's just telling the host about this festival. It's about to happen. And all of a sudden, we get this weird electronic kind of weird ass sound come across the interview. Now, further into the interview, while I'm talking, and it seems like at this point now, I'm talking about this object in my arm, this upper, everybody calls them implants, I call them unknowns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, they're asking me about or whatever, I'm starting to try to talk about it, and you hear very distinct growling come over my voice. At that point, the host says something, then the co-host, she pipes in and says, yeah, that's growling. And then she repeated the growling. She said, it's not me. I've been muted. So
wow.
That was one of the first experiences of these wow. weird, strange, creepy sounds. The next interview we did, Chad was talking about his dad and his stepmother having a ghosty house.
That was the story where the rattling doors and all that.
That he told you all about earlier, that big rattling door house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a big house. And then you heard somebody else go, big house.
You hear another man's voice that's not the host or Chad. I'm not a dude. And the host only caught it when he was doing the editing of that interview. And you hear it just as distinct as hearing you right now or Chad.
Wow.
Dude in the background, this other voice says, "Big house."
Wow.
And it was, what the hey?
Damn.
We got ghosties.
Right.
We, one time during an interview with a guy, we started hearing this weird stuff. And I heard it first. And I wasn't sure exactly what it was. And then we figured out that he had, he was on his phone. And he had forgot to turn off. He turned off the ringer sound, but
that's right.
Didn't turn off the vibrate sound. And it just
we're like, "What is that?" We're like, "What is that?"
Oh my god!
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I use my phone too, but I try to remember to turn off the do not disturb.
Yeah, exactly.
These couple of experiences were just so bizarre, and like I said. The host who do nothing but do these kinds of interviews, they're the ones that, essentially brought it to our attention. And I'm like, what the hey?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I keep trying to tell people New Orleans, this part of the world is getting thinner and thinner.
Yeah. Mm.
Whatever that veil is seems to be getting thinner and thinner.
Right.
So.
Wow.
We pray someday if we're planning on Chad and I have chosen, we gave up a home and everything we owned basically in Alabama that we were buying and bought a motorhome and decided we're somewhat artists and doing what I do and all. We just decided to try to live as free as we possibly could and travel.
Good.
And experience this country to the best of our ability. Not having children, we have that. We've always had a kind of that luxury.
That's
so
great. Good.
We've been here for a while now and getting ourselves back together and planning to be back out again in springtime of this next year and traveling. So maybe in our journeys, we can all come across each other. It would be awesome.
Be
I think one of you were in Oklahoma, right? And one maybe in Ohio.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry's there in Oklahoma and I'm in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati has become home sweet home for us over the past. We've got lots of connection in the Ohio Valley.
Yeah,
and we've had a lot of crazy, maybe someday we ever come together again. We got a lot of stories about high strangeness in that part of the country as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, we just look forward to it.
Yeah. Well,
we're definitely going to have to talk to you guys again because I know that there's so much more that we haven't heard of. I mean, we didn't even really get out of the 90s very much.
So we got Yeah. Oh, there's much more. Yeah, you ever have interest, there's much more. And we look forward to it.
Before we go, your book is called Orbduction. And where is that available? What can we do? Now, I found there's a Facebook page, and I found that while we were talking and liked it. But is it on Amazon or is it you got a website or how can people get a hold of that? Because
Again, it's Orbducted in the French Quarter. You can contact us, right off of our Facebook if you like. We do also have it on Etsy. And if you're in the area, if you're in the French Quarter, Alta sells it at where we work.
The shop.
Or where she works.
Uh-huh. It's called the shop. Earth Odyssey.
Okay.
Shop is called Earth Odyssey. We're not Amazon or any of that fancy at this stage of it and just any way that we can to, let folks know it's happening and out there. And again, we just thank you both so much and we'd like to get you both sent a copy and you let us know how we can do that. And we just can't thank you enough for all of this.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate that. We're looking forward to that. I'll send you some addresses that you can mail it to because I definitely would. I'd love to have a copy. Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. we have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But, you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not.
Yeah. What'd you think about that?
Dude, I wouldn't let everybody know we just sat here for about 3 or 4 seconds just staring at each other, trying to not even knowing where to begin.
Yeah.
That, oh man, like so much, dude.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin?
It's a lot.
It's a lot,
you know, and I think this story will continue. This is not, this is not the end. This is, you know, they're living it right now. A continuation for sure. And, I know that they'll come back, you know, I hopefully come back and share their high strangeness with us again. But I mean, it's amazing that the amount of detail that this chronological sort of, like, you know, keeping of their story is really impressive.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they've definitely, especially with the abduction there, really focused on getting it down and getting everybody's perspective of it and being able to remember and retell that story.
Yeah.
And that's good because, you know, we need oral histories to continue on. And, you know, even if it's when it's individual stuff like that. And that's, you know,
right.
One thing that we add is we to the world, I guess, at large, is that we get people to share stories. And man,
dude,
I mean, like, three different people having three fairly distinct and different experiences in this, starting from the same moment and then going off and you know, and Alta remembering so much of hers and just what they each remember. I mean, it's just,
it's fascinating. And they live, you know, now, of course, they bounce around, but you know, right now they're living in a city that is just teeming with that kind of energy and weirdness that is, if you're geared that way, which they are, I think that opens up some possibilities for you to have more of these happenings than the normal, you know, place or person in the place.
Yeah.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. And couldn't be happier to have them on. It was so good to have that, you know, that epic story.
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, I guess they've said a lot. We don't need to carry on anymore, man. That was just great stuff. Thanks once again.
Yeah.
Chad Nutter for coming on. I'm so glad that we were finally able to make it all happen. And man, it just was so rewarding for us to hear those stories. And we hope everybody out there just really enjoys those as well, because there's so many and just so strong and so good. Guys, guys and gals and friends and everybody, Weirdsville, as your co-mayors, I guess we're co-mayors.
Cool. I like that.
We want to wish you all a happy new year.
Happy new year. Yeah.
A prosperous, joyful new year.
Yes.
A fun filled new year with good things and joy. And I just said that again, but
yes, prosperity,
prosperity. Yeah. And most importantly, we wish you a weird new year.
That's right. I'm sure there's a lot happening right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of weird shit.
That's happening. The world we live in, man, for sure, for sure. You've got, have you got plans for, you got New Year's plans?
You know what? That depends on the wife. You know, sometimes she'll book stuff for us to be at, you know, and I just sort of show up. But as of right now, I don't really have much. And we'll probably, if it's just her and I, we'll go out and have a drink or something. But we may even not even make it up till midnight because we're old, you know. And so, but no, how about you, man? No big plans for the big festivities?
Nah, man. I'm not old like you, but, I just, you know, I don't drink and, I don't really,
there's no reason to be,
I don't party, you know, anything like that. So it's like, you know, I don't need to be out. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not big into crowds like I used to be, you know, I mean, even for me being a much younger man than you, am an older man like you. So, right.
Well,
I'll just be hanging at home.
Good.
You know, probably maybe watching old Twilight Zone episodes.
There you go.
That used to be a thing where you get a marathon for Twilight Zone episodes for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So I may do that. And, you know, hang out with my cats and then pick one of them up and try to make them my New Year's kiss at midnight or whatever.
Nice.
And,
there you go. You
know, pushing me and getting rejected as always.
There you go. I mean, that's the way it is. Yeah, that sounds good, man. Yeah. So, yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. And have a great, great time, whatever it is that you're doing or not doing. And and we look forward to many to come.
Yes. So, in the meantime, and as you enter this new year and leave the one behind, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.